إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. We're going to continue tonight reading from the book of our beloved Shaykh Abdul Muhsin bin Hamad al-Abbad al-Badr hafidhahullah, Tafsir al-Nasik bi Ahkam al-Manasik ala Daw' al-Kitab wa-Sunnah wal-Ma'thur 'an al-Sahab. Now we're still taking these classes about Hajj al-Umrah. Another chapter, Wujub al-Hajj wal-Umrah. In the end of the last class, we start this chapter, that performing Hajj and Umrah is obligatory once in a lifetime. Likewise, the Shaykh, he says, unless if a person take an oath or a vow to perform Hajj or Umrah, then it becomes obligatory upon them to fulfill that oath. And he mentioned the ayah 196 in Surah Al-Baqarah and the ayah 97 in Surah Ali Imran, that as a proof that the Hajj is obligatory. That's from the book of Allah and from the Sunnah. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصوم رمضان. رواه البخاري ومسلم عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما. And now we continue. The Shaykh mentioned the hadith. The hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam is built upon five: to bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, and to bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and a messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to establish the prayer, to pay the zakat, and to unhajj and saum fast in Ramadan. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث جبريل المشهور الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. رواه مسلم عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. Also in this hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih on the authority of عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, in the hadith Jibreel, the famous hadith of Jibreel, when he asked the Prophet ﷺ about Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, Islam, that you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah ﷺ, to establish the prayer, to give the zakat, to fast Ramadan, and to perform the Hajj to the house of Allah if you are able to do so. ولحديث أبي هريرة, the Shaykh mentioned another hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أيها الناس قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا. فقال رجل أكل عام يا رسول الله؟ فسكت حتى قالها ثلاثا. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو قلت نعم لوجبت ولما استطعتم. الحديث أخرجه مسلم. He says, also because of this hadith that is in Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who says, once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon, and he says, O people, Hajj has been made obligatory upon you, so perform Hajj. A man said, every year, O Messenger of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained quiet until the man repeated that three times. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, if I said yes, will become binding upon you to perform Hajj once a year, and you will not be able to do so. قال الشيخ وقد أجمع المسلمون على وجوب الحج على من توفرت فيه شروطه. He says, and the Muslims, after he mentioned the Shaykh the ayah from the ayat from the Quran and also these narrations, he says also the Muslims, they have agreement, consensus, total consensus, that performing Hajj is obligatory upon anyone that fulfilled the conditions. That fulfilled the conditions of Hajj. قال وأما العمرة فيدل لوجوبها أحاديث. As for the Umrah, it is obligatory as well to perform Umrah once in your lifetime. He says, and the proof is these narrations. Number one, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله هل على النساء من جهاد؟ قال نعم عليهن جهاد لا قتال فيها الحج والعمرة. رواه أحمد وابن ماجه وابن خزيمة وإسناده عند الإمام أحمد وابن ماجه على صوت الشيخين. On the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, is there any jihad upon the women? He says, yes, there is a jihad upon them, but does not involve any fighting. It is Hajj and Umrah. Hajj and Umrah. It's collected by Imam Ahmad, Ibn Majah, Ibn Khuzaymah, and the isnad in Imam Ahmad is one Ibn Majah. They say it is on the conditions of Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. وقال ابن خزيمة عقب إخراج الحديث في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليهن جهاد لا قتل فيه وإعلامه أن الجهاد الذي عليهن الحج والعمرة بيان أن العمرة واجب كالحج إذ ظاهر قوله عليهن أنه واجب إذ غير جائز أن يقال على المرء ما هو تطوع غير واجب. ابن خزيمة he mentioned after he introduced this hadith, he says this is an indication, yes, that Umrah is obligatory, likewise as Hajj. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, is upon them, upon the women. So that's why it is obligatory. The second hadith, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث جبريل عن عمر رضي الله عنه, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله وأن تقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتحج وتعتمر وتغتسل من الجنابة وأن تتم الوضوء وأن تتم الوضوء وتصوم رمضان. رواه ابن خزيمة بإسناد صحيح رجاله ثقات والدارقطني وقال إسناد ثابت صحيح. Imagine this hadith, the hadith of Jibreel, from another route of this hadith of Jibreel from Umar رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says Islam is that you bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. You establish the prayer, you give the zakat, you perform Hajj and Umrah, and you perform ghusl from Janaba, and you perfect the wudu, and you fast Ramadan. This narration is collected by Ibn Khuzaymah with a chain of narration that is sound. All those men are trustworthy of the chain of narration. And Imam Ad-Darqutni also collected this narration with these additions, and he said that the isnad thabit sahih, that the chain of narration of this, the man in this chain of narration, this chain is firm and is sound. The third hadith, still the Shaykh bringing the hadith that shows that Umrah, performing Umrah once a lifetime, is obligatory as well. عن أبي رزين العقيلي رضي الله عنه أنه أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إن أبي شيخ كبير لا يستطيع الحج ولا العمرة ولا الظعن. قال حج عن أبيك واعتمر. رواه الترمذي وقال هذا حديث حسن صحيح وهو على شرط مسلم. نظر حديث أبي رزين العقيلي رضي الله عنه, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, verily my father is an old man and he cannot perform Hajj and Umrah because he cannot ride on a camel, he can't travel. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, perform Hajj on your father and perform Umrah on your father, on behalf of your father. So like by Imam al-Tirmidhi. The fourth hadith and the last one here, عن السبي ابن معبد أنه قال لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه يا أمير المؤمنين إني كنت رجلا أعرابيا نصرانيا وإني أسلمت وأنا حريص على الجهاد. This is on the authority of الصبي ابن معبد that he said to عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, indeed, I was an Arabi man and I was a Christian. And I became Muslim. وَأَنَا حَرِيثٌ عَلَى الْجِهَادِ I want to participate in jihad. وَإِنِّي وَجَدْتُ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ مَكْتُوبَيْنِ عَلَيَّ But in the same way, I want to go on an expedition, but I find out that Hajj and Umrah are obligatory upon me to perform. فَأَتَيْتُ رَجُلًا مِنْ قَوْمِي فَقَالَ لِي إِجْمَعْهُمَا وَذْبَحْ مَا تَيْسَرَ مِنْ الْهَدِي وَإِنِّي أَهْلَلْتُ بِهِمَا مَعًا He said, so I went to a man from my people and he said to me, combine the two, Hajj and Umrah, and slaughter whatever you can, meaning animal you can, meaning camel or cow or goat or sheep. He said to Umar radiallahu anhu, so this is my intention. I made my intention to perform both in one trip, Hajj and Umrah. فقال لي عمر هديت لسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم عمر when he heard this man he said to him you've been guided of course by Allah to the sunnah of your prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه أبو داود بإسناد صحيح على شرط البخاري ومسلم this colleague of Imam Abu Dawud with the chain of إسناد الصحيح After this, now we go to شروط الحج والعمرة. Another chapter, شروط الحج والعمرة. There are certain conditions that make Hajj obligatory upon the people and عمرة as well. For this, the Shaykh says, الحج والعمرة واجبان على كل مسلم. عاقل بالغ حر قادر Five conditions the Shaykh mentioned. He says Hajj and Umrah become obligatory upon every Muslim. See, that's the first condition. Number two, عاقل Someone who has a right mind. بالغ reached the age of puberty. حر Free person, Qadir, able to perform Hajj. These are five conditions the Shaykh mentioned. وَتَزِيدُ الْمَرْأَةُ شَرْطًا سَادِسًا But the woman have a sixth condition. Beside this, she have a sixth condition. What is it? هُوَ وُجُودُ الْمَحْرَمِ الَّذِي يُسَافِرُ مَعَهَا That the woman, she should have a mahram. A mahram that performed the hajj with her. Not a mahram that signed a paper for her, like certain people do. Not a mahram that take her to the airport and go back home. Not a mahram that find her some people and he says, I trust these brothers, just go with them. No, the mahram who go with her, travel with her, perform hajj with her, and come back with her. So the women have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should obey Allah and obey His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh is going to mention in details later on about this matter, inshallah. Then he says, فَالْكَافِرْ لَا يُؤْمَرُ بِالْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ قَبْلَ إِسْلَامِ وَلَا يَصِحَّانِ مِنْهُ لَوْ فَعَلَهُمَا So therefore the kafir, the non-Muslim, is not to be commanded to perform hajj nor umrah before he became Muslim. And even if he performed them, they will not be accepted from him. بل هو مأمور بالأصول وهي الإيمان وبالفروع تبعا للأصول على القول الصحيح في مسألة خطاب الكفار بفروع الشريعة He says rather the non-Muslim they are commanded first to establish the principles which is إيمان in Allah سبحانه وتعالى because if they are kuffar and pray or fast or make hajj won't be accepted from them They have to believe in Allah, to believe in the in the articles of Iman and the like, and then the other actions of worship will follow the Iman. And this is because this is due to the soundest of opinion as related to the kuffar establishing the furu' of the Sharia. He says, because of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, verse 6 and 7, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And woe to the polytheists, those who do not give the zakat, while they disbelieve and deny the hereafter. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى عَنِ الْكُفَّارِ فِي جَوَابِهِمْ عَنْ أَسْبَابِ دُخُولِهِمْ سَقَرْ. And also, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs us about the kuffar, those who enter into the hellfire, or actually when they were asked what made them enter the hellfire, and they mentioned the reasons. What are the reasons and the actions that made them go into the hellfire? They say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُوا نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُولُ مَعَ الْخَائِرِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ حَتَّى آتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. The ayat in Surah Al-Muddathir. From the ayah 42 until 47. What has caused you to enter hell? They will say, we were not of those who used to offer their prayers, nor we used to feed the poor, and we used to talk falsehood, all that which Allah hates, with vain talkers, and we used to belie the day of recompense, until there came to us death that is certain. The Sheikh mentioned something about, it's not about the Hajj, about more details as related to the people here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat addressed the tells us about the disbelievers that they, as related to the pillars of Islam, as related to the Salat, Zakat, and the like. قال الشيخ والمجنون لا يؤمر بالحج والعمرة ولا يصحان منه لو أتى بهما لفقده عقله. الشيخ says the مجنون, the crazy person who is crazy, okay, is not to be commanded to perform Hajj or Umrah. And even if he performed them, they will not be sound, because he's missing his intellect, faculties of intellect. The Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَ. The pen is lifted upon three. But the angels do not write upon these people. عَنِ النَّائِمْ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِدْ. The one who is asleep until he wakes up. وَعَنِ السَّبِيِّ حَتَّى يَحْتَلِمْ. The child until he reaches the puberty. وَعَنِ الْمَجْنُونَ حَتَّى يَعْقِلْ. And the crazy person, the insane, until he, if he regain his faculty of mind and his intellect. وَالصَّبِيُّ وَالْعَبْدُ لَا يَجِبَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا وَلَوْ فَعَلَاهُمَا صَحَّى نَفْلًا وَأُجِرَ مَنْ حَجَّ بِهِمَا. As for the child and the slave, both of them, Hajj and Umrah, are not obligatory upon them. But if the Muslim child and a Muslim slave, they perform the Hajj and Umrah, they are accepted from them as an optional act of worship. And the one who took care of them while they were performing the Hajj and Umrah will be rewarded for that. So if a person have the ability to take a child, that child who didn't reach the age of puberty yet, Allah will accept from them the Hajj or Umrah as an optional act. The ulama, they say, as the Shaykh will say, but when they grow up, they have to make it. And the one who took them will get rewarded. لحديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كتب حديث ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما who said رفعت امرأة صبيا لها فقالت يا رسول الله علي هذا حج قال نعم ولك أجر كتب this حديث let's call it بالإمام مسلم الإمام البخاري لا just إمام مسلم just because the حديث صحيح مسلم a woman picked up a boy and she said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, is this one have a hajj? He said yes, and your reward, you have a reward for bringing him. In Sahih al-Bukhari we have another hadith on Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu maqal hujja bi ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa ana ibn sab'i sanin. In Sahih al-Bukhari now, on the authority of As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu, who says, I was taken to Hajj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while I was 7 years. I was taken, maybe his father took him, while I was 7 years old. وَلَا يُجْزِيهُمَا عَنْ حِجَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Now here, remember, the Shaykh mentioned that the child who didn't reach the age of puberty yet and the slave, if they made hajj, it is accepted as an optional. But it does not make up for the hajj that is obligatory for them. Okay? That is wajib. بَلْ يَحُجَّانِ حَجَّةً أُخْرَى بَعْدَ الْبُلُوغِ وَالْعِتْقِ. But rather, they should perform another hajj. The child who reached the age of puberty should perform another hajj, and that's Hajj al-Islam. And the slave, if he's freed, should perform another hajj, because of the hadith ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qal, احفظوا عني ولا تقولوا قال ابن عباس أيما عبد حج به أهله ثم أعتق فعليه الحج وأيما صبي حج به أهله صبي ثم أدرك فعليه حجة الرجل. الحديث Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said to the people, take this from me. And don't say Ibn Abbas said. And then he said to them, any slave who performed the Hajj, because he was with his masters, the people that he's with, and then he was freed, he should make Hajj. It's obligatory upon him to perform Hajj. And any child who accompany his family for Hajj, and then he reached the age of puberty, it became obligatory upon him to perform Hajj. وقول ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما احفظوا عني ولا تقولوا قال ابن عباس يدل على أنه مرفوع إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, and the statement of Ibn Abbas when he says, take this from me and don't say Ibn Abbas said, this is a dalil that this is traced to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-Qadir, the Shaykh, because he's still bringing out details on these five conditions. Al-Qadir, the one who's able. Who is the last condition? Because the first condition is Islam, then the Aql, Bulugh, Hur, and then Qadir. The one who have the ability. قال والقادر هو القادر ببدنه وماله. This ability is the one who is able to perform Hajj and Umrah physically and financially. Physically able and has the finance too. لقول الله عز وجل ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. Surah Ali Imran verse 97. And it is incumbent upon the people to perform Hajj to the house of Allah and for Allah, make Hajj for Allah, that's Ikhlas, for those who have the ability to do so, for those who are able to do so. إذن قال الشيخ حفظه الله فمن عاجز عن الحج والعمرة لهرم أو مرض لا يرجى برؤه، أو كان قادرا ببدنه وليس عنده مال يحج به أو يعتمر، لم يجب عليه. Now the Sheikh is going to give details to this. He says, so therefore, based on this, anyone who is unable to perform Hajj and Umrah because of old age or an illness that it is chronic and permanent, or a person actually able physically but doesn't have the necessity, the wealth to make Hajj or to make Umrah, then at this moment Hajj and Umrah are not obligatory on such person. Not obligatory upon such a person. وَمَنْ عَجَزَ بِبَدَنِهِ وَعِنْدَهُ مَالٌ لَزِمَهُ أَنْ يُنِيبَ مَنْ يَحُجَّ عَنْهُ وَيَعْتَمِرُ. The Shaykh now, he add another detail. As for the one who physically is unable, because he's an old man cannot or woman cannot travel, or because of that chronic illness, he says, but have the ability financially, they have money to make Hajj, but they couldn't. He said, then it becomes incumbent upon that person to find someone to perform Hajj on their behalf. And the ulama, they says, we'll take care of them. We'll take care of their means to go and what they need while they stay to perform Hajj and come back. That's it. It's not like some people, they're doing it as a business now. They're doing like ads on the internet. They have groups who have people that do Hajj for you. And how much you pay? 5,000? Nah, that's nothing. Give me 7,000. You become a business. Ulama, they said, that's not permissible. Can't do that. Nah, if a person doesn't have the money, alhamdulillah, and another person says, look, you make Hajj on me, on my father, this, just give them what they need. Not to turn it as a job. Look, you're going to give me, beside my expenses, you're going to give me another $3,000. Ayna. وَلِغَيْرِهِ أَنْ يَحُجَّ عَنْهُ وَيَعْتَمِرُ. Also, that person, it's permissible for others to perform Hajj on behalf of somebody else. Okay? And Umrah. Because of the hadith of Abi Razin al-Uqayli radiallahu anhu, annahu ata al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, remember the hadith we just mentioned, Inna Abi Shaykhun Kabir la yastati'u al-Hajj wa al-Umrah wa al-Dha'an. Verily, Abi, my father is an old man. He cannot perform Hajj nor Umrah because he cannot travel. Cannot sit on a camel or on a ride. قَالَ حُجَّ عَنْ أَبِيكَ وَاعْتَمِرُ. Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, perform Hajj on your father, on behalf of your father, and perform Umrah on his behalf. وَقَدْ تَقَدَّمَ قَرِيبًا فِي وُجُوبِ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. So we just mentioned this hadith not too long ago in the chapter of the obligation of Hajj and Umrah. ولحديث الفضل بن عباس رضي الله عنهما. Also, because of this hadith of الفضل بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال, he said, جاءت امرأة من خثعم عام حجة الوداع قالت. A woman from the tribe of خثعم, she came in the year of the حجة الوداع, the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and she said, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, إن فريضة الله على عباده في الحج أدركت أبي شيخا كبيرا لا يستطيع أن يستوي على الراحلة. This woman, she said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed, this farida of Allah, the Hajj that Allah has made obligatory upon His servants, but my father is an old man, cannot sit still on the ride. فهل يقضي عنه أن أحج عنه؟ فهل يقضي عنه أن أحج عنه؟ قال نعم. She said, would it benefit him if I perform Hajj on him, on his behalf? The Prophet said yes. Said yes. It's correct by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim. وفي هذا الحديث أيضا دليل على حج المرأة على الرجل. Also, he says in this hadith is a proof that the woman can, is permissible for a woman to perform hajj on behalf of a man. قال الشيخ ومن مات وهو لم يحج وله مال أخرج من تركته ما يحج به عنه ولغيره أن يحج عنه. Another point here related to this one, he said if someone died but they didn't perform Hajj and that person have left some wealth, they should take enough from it so that a person will to be used so that a person perform Hajj on his behalf. And it is permissible for somebody else to volunteer and perform Hajj without even money or something. If somebody volunteers and says, I'm making Hajj with my father, somebody is like, father didn't make Hajj. Because in some countries, a lot of poor people in Africa, in Asia, talking about India, talking about China, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Turkey, talking about Africa, in Somalia, Kenya, in Ethiopia, in Senegal, in Ghana, in Mali, Morocco, Algeria, name it. These people that really want to make Hajj, but they're very poor, they can't. They really can't have the means to travel, to make Hajj. So, somebody who have the ability to make Hajj can make Hajj on their behalf, inshallah ta'ala. لحديث بريدة ابن الحصيب رضي الله عنه وفيه عند حديث أن امرأة ماتت أمها. A woman, her mother died. This woman, her mother died. سألت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت. And she asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, إنها لم تحج قط أفأحج عنها. This woman, she came and she said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that her mother who died, she never performed Hajj. Can I perform Hajj on her behalf? قال حجي عنها رواه مسلم. رواه صلى الله عليه وسلم says yes, perform حج on her behalf. You're not confused in here. Anybody is confused in here? It's okay, right? So now we're talking about if someone did not perform حج. Now,
yeah, so meaning to say that even my parents died, they didn't left any money for her, but I can do money,
yes,
for them, right?
Nah.
Even not left money,
if your parents died, رحمهم الله, they didn't perform Hajj and Umrah, they didn't left any money, you perform Hajj and Umrah. It's good. You cannot do both in 1 year.
Yeah.
So you choose
1 year,
you do your mother, alhamdulillah. Yeah. And not in the next year if you have, it's good. If not, whenever you have the money and you do your father. Now,
if someone can't financially do Hajj, I know it's not obligatory on what you just said, but say if they know somebody who's there already, can they perform Hajj for them on their behalf after they've done Hajj with themselves?
Somebody who already there?
Yeah, say I know somebody that lives like in Saudi right now.
Uh-huh.
Can he perform Hajj on my behalf?
Not you. Because you're not able only financially.
Yeah.
Because you're able physically. Your condition may change, inshallah. Still young, alhamdulillah. Alright? Now,
person that died, say for example they died, but they didn't leave money for Hajj to be performed by someone else. What does it come from, the inheritance? That's how it's understood.
What if he leave no money, there is no inheritance. Alright?
No.
Hada haq. Hada ahsan. If he leave no money, there is nothing, no inheritance there. Inheritance is sifr. Ta'rif sifr? Sifr.
Zero.
Zero. Ma fi shay. And that person who died, mashallah, and they didn't make Hajj because they were poor, la shay alayhim. There is nothing against them. Because Allah says for those who are able to do so. Some people, mashallah, all their year they want to make Hajj and they ask Allah, oh Allah, make it easy for us to make Hajj, but they're very poor, they can't. And they died. There's nothing against those people. But if somebody else perform Hajj on their behalf, Allah reward them. The Hajj will be for them, and that person, he got a great reward, of course. طيب. Clear? But with the condition, though, who knows the condition? No. Ahsant. Anyone who wants to perform Hajj on behalf of someone, they should perform Hajj for them first. I know. If somebody wants to perform Hajj on behalf of his mother that she died, for example, but he never made Hajj, no, can't do that. Yeah, he can, but he has to do his Hajj first. That's what I mean. And the ulama, they says, even if he went with the intention to make it for his mother, it's going to be for him, because he didn't make Hajj yet. And then inshallah, the next year, if he's able, he go make Hajj. Cannot do two Hajj in 1 year. Cannot go and do two tawafs, and two prayer, and two sa'i, and stand in, and two jamarat. And then what are you going to do in Arafah? There's only one Arafah. No, he can't do that. No.
If she's still alive and she doesn't have the money, can you pay for her even though you didn't do it?
Yes, you can. Wow, that's another question. Okay. That's why you're right there, mashallah. Zakallah khair. Pretend I didn't see you. But we get you the answer, inshallah, to that one, okay? Zakallah khair. Good question. قال الشيخ والمرأة القادرة ببدنها ومالها لا تكون مستطيعة إلا بوجود محرم لها يحج معها. Here is the detail that I told you the Sheikh is going to mention, that the woman that is able to travel, because physically she's sound, alhamdulillah, she's not, doesn't have no chronic illness, she's not too old that she can even travel, okay? And this doesn't mean that she has to be young. No, women, alhamdulillah, they're 50s, 60s, some of them they're 70s, and still able, mashallah, to take care of themselves. Physically, they can travel, they can make Hajj. And this woman also, the Sheikh says, she's able financially. She have the means. Still, cannot just go ahead and make Hajj, unless she has a mahram that perform Hajj with her. Okay. Why? Because of the travel. It's not because of the Hajj. It's because of the travel. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, "La tusafir al-mar'a illa ma'a dhi mahram." No woman should travel except with a mahram. "Wala yadkhulu 'alayha rajulun illa ma'a mahram." No woman should be alone, and any man, stranger man, enter upon her except with a mahram. فَقَالَ رَجُلُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Then a man says, O Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَخْرُجَ فِي جَيْشِ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَمْرَأَةُ تُرِيدُ الْحَجِ. When the Prophet said this, a man says, O Messenger of Allah, I'm deployed to go to such expedition, right? Deployed, right, Abdullah? Or assigned? I'm deployed to go to, you know, to be sent to such and such expedition, jihad, for jihad. However, my wife, this man says, however, his wife, she's going for Hajj. She want to make Hajj. Prophet ﷺ said, فَقَالَ أَخْرُجْ مَعَهَا. Prophet ﷺ said to him, go with your wife. Allah Akbar. Look, this man is going for jihad. Prophet ﷺ said, no, leave jihad, go with your wife. It's collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. On the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. The Shaykh explained, قال فقد أرشد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السائل في هذا الحديث إلى ترك الجهاد ليسافر مع امرأته الحج. So in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم tells this man to leave the jihad. He was going for the jihad so that he can travel with his wife for Hajj. Now here is a question. What if a woman, because some women they do it. Some women they just go. Some women they don't know the ruling. other women, the ruling come to them and they say, look, I gotta do what I gotta do. No. So what is the ruling on their Hajj now? She's already made Hajj, she's by herself. Some other women, they think like, look, man, the Imam of the Masjid is going, so I'm going with him. The brother Imam is not a mahram to all the women in the community. He's mahram only to his wife and to his mother and to his daughters and stepdaughters and to his sisters, not sisters in the community. The real sisters from his mother and father or mother or father. This is an aunt and grandmothers and the like. His nieces. The Imam is not the mahram for all the women. And this is the mistake of some man who is ignorant. Oh yeah, my wife, she's going to go with the brother Imam. Yeah, is that right? Can't. It's not permissible. So what is the, is that, is the, is her Hajj, the woman that perform Hajj without mahram, what is the ruling on her Hajj? قال الشيخ ولو حجت المرأة بغير محرم صح حجها وأثمت لسفرها بدون محرم. كذلك قول الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله تعالى. The Sheikh, he mentioned this, and this is also statement of our noble Sheikh, Sheikh ibn Baz رحمه الله, and other mashayikh, that if the woman performed Hajj without mahram, her Hajj is sound. Of course, if she followed the Sunnah and did what's supposed to do. However, she's sinful. Why is she sinful? Because she didn't drink more zamzam. Why is she sinful? She traveled without a mahram. Because she traveled without a mahram. لأن اشتراط المحرم شرط للوجوب لا للصحة. See, the Sheikh says because the presence of a mahram, that male, not a female, a male. That is able, all right, able to be a mahram, fits to be a mahram, is a condition for travel, not for Hajj. It is a condition, actually he said, is it a condition? Let me rephrase this, forget what I just said right now, I wasn't thinking, right. Actually, the Sheikh, he said, I'll take that back, that last statement. The Sheikh, he says, actually, the mahram is a condition that makes the Hajj obligatory upon the woman, not sound. Okay? It is a condition related to the obligation. So if the woman don't have this, it's not obligatory upon her to make Hajj. وللمرأة التي في مكة أن تحج مع رفقة مأمونة لأن الحج من مكة لا سفر فيه فلا يشترط لها محرم. See, that's why the Sheikh now he says, the woman that live in Mecca, she's already in Mecca, it's permissible for her to perform Hajj as long as she find good companions. They say a man, a group, couple of men traveling with their wives and she stay with the women, mashallah, that's good. That they are trustworthy, they have taqwa, it's okay. Why? Because the Hajj in Mecca, there is no travel. Going from Mecca to Mina to Arafat, there's no travel involved. فَلَا يُشْتَرَطُ لَهُ الْمَحْرَمُ. And the ulama, they mentioned that also what we learn from them is that if a man, for example, doesn't have the time to make Hajj, but have the time to travel. Yes, if this man do this, for example, a man doesn't have the time to make Hajj. But if he travel with his wife from here, for example, until Mecca, and leave her with trustworthy companions, family and this, and he comes back, and he go back and bring her back, it's okay, they said. That's okay. That's okay. No.
I have two questions.
Yes.
Is regarding the, suppose it's a divorced woman.
Hmm?
Divorced woman.
Divorce?
Yeah. She's separated from husband.
Uh-huh.
And she doesn't have, maybe have no brother and father is dead.
Uh-huh.
So if she wants to make Hajj, how she will?
She don't make Hajj. She waits, because Allah says she's not able. She just be patient until she remarried or something, inshallah. Now.
And the second question is regarding that financial ability. Suppose my financial ability is my family, me and my family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not my siblings,
no.
Those who are already married, but their family have lots of financial problems. It is not my things to
yes.
follow that financial problem. Only my, if I am able, my financially, I will go hard.
No.
I do not have to take care of my siblings.
No. The people that you're in charge of, that they are under your authority, your family, your parents, these are you nafaqa wajiba. To take care of them is obligatory upon you. So if, for example, you have your own house or you're renting, for example, there is enough food, alhamdulillah, enough, the bills are paid, and then you have extra enough to go for hajj, and also enough for them until you come back from hajj, then you go.
But for my married siblings, I don't have
to. No, the other ones, your cousins and them, you help them. You're helping them. Because it's not obligatory upon you to send the money or to take care of them. Okay? So. Now the Shaykh is going to mention who is the mahram of for the woman. Okay? قال ومحرم المرأة زوجها ومن تحرم عليه على التأبيد بنسب أو سبب ملاح مباح. Who is the mahram that the woman should travel with? Her husband. Or any man that it is strictly forbidden for her to marry him forever. Or for a valid reason. So because due to lineage, this says is her husband or another man other than the husband that is strictly forbidden for her to marry him forever due to lineage or valid reason. As for the lineage, like her father, he says, her son, her brother, her uncle, her paternal uncle and her maternal uncle, because in Arabic it is two, عَمُّهَا وَخَالُهَا. And the mahram due to a valid reason, such as nursing, suckling. Okay? So a man may be her father by suckling. Okay? Her father by nursing, because she drink the milk. Okay, he's married to a woman and she has a baby and she was suckled by his wife, so he became her father by suckling. And also a son, he become a man, become her son, because she breastfed him, and he became her son. Akhuha, she breastfed from a woman to have another boy, and he became her brother by suckling, by breastfeeding. And likewise, also she can have a paternal uncle or maternal uncle through the breastfeeding. Okay? See how it is? وَإِمَّا بِمُسَاهَرَ, or by marriage, through marriage contract. كَأَبِي زَوْجِهَا, like the father of her husband. What they say here? Her father-in-law. In-law, right? Not outlaw. وَابْنُهُ, and his son. وَزَوْجِ أُمِّهَا الَّذِي دَخَلَ بِهَا وَزَوْجُ بِنْ, and also her mother's husband, her stepfather, who have consummated the marriage with her mother. His condition become mahram for her. وزوج ابنتها, her son-in-law, who married her, what? Her daughter. Right? No. He says, so therefore, not included in this, الملاعن. فإن الملاعنة تحرم الملاعنة تحرم عليه على التأبيد ولا يكون محرما لها. Except for in this case. I gotta explain to you this case first. We have this thing called mula'ana in the Quran. When a man accuses his wife with adultery and she denies. Okay? He will swear four times that he's speaking the truth, and the fifth that the curse of Allah upon him if she's truthful. She will push this punishment away and this accusation away by swearing four times too, okay? A lie. This is called mula'ana because it involves the curse. Because her too, she says, and the curse of Allah upon her if he's truthful. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he did this, he said to them, he said to that man, that woman, Allah knows that one of you is a liar. But if they did it this way, both of them, the man didn't say, oh, I'm sorry because I lied on her, I'm astaghfirullah, which is good for him. The woman, she didn't say, yeah, he's right, but why he didn't say it? Well, I was, Allah musta'an. It's still good for her. Now, they're both. This man said she did it, and he swear by Allah four times, and the fifth, the wrath of Allah upon him, or the curse of Allah upon him. And the likewise, she did. She swear four times that she didn't do anything, that he's a liar. And the fifth one, by the wrath or the curse of Allah upon her, if he's truthful. Then at that time, they separate between them forever. He can never, ever marry that woman again. If it happens like this. But this man can never be mahram to that woman. Because, why the Shaykh said this? Because he says, anyone who can never marry the woman can be mahram, right? Except for this guy right here. Alright? Except for this man that I just told you his story, okay? And he's any man, by the way, right? And also, we finish this, inshallah. وَمَنْ حَرُمَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَرْأَةِ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ. And also, the person that a woman, she's not, cannot be mahram for her, if this woman, she is not permissible for him to marry, but for a while. Such as, who can tell me an example? أُخْتِ زَوْجَتِهِ. He has a wife, her sister. Because her sister, he cannot marry her while he's marrying her both. But still cannot be her mahram. Why? Because if he divorced the one, he can marry the other one. أو عمتها. He's married a woman. Her aunt. He cannot have both of them. The woman and her aunt. Insane. But she still cannot be mahram. خالة ابنتُ أخيها ابنتُ أختها لا يكون محرم لها لأن من شرط المحرم للمرأة أن تحرم عليه على التأبيد. He says because one of the condition for a man to be mahram for the woman that woman is forbidden for him to marry forever, not just for a period. If he's married a woman, if he divorced her or she died, he can marry her aunt. Was only for a period. Now, what make him a mahram for a woman is that he's strictly forbidden, the Shaykh, he says, for him to marry her for forever, except for who?
The person that he was married and they both swore.
The mula'ana. Except that husband that she has, and then after the mula'ana, after the curse involved, then, based on what I told you, the story, then, yes, it is forbidden for him forever, can never marry her, but still cannot be mahram for her. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.